ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread and communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2 as we continue our study through the book of Joshua and see how we can live that victorious Christian life. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a woman named Rahab. And she was a prostitute that lived on the wall of the city of Jericho. It was on this wall that she had her home. And travelers would also use this place to stay at. It was kind of like a Motel 6, but not really, but they stayed there. And we saw how Joshua sent in two spies to the city of Jericho. And you would think they were sent there to see the strengths and weaknesses of the city of Jericho because they were going to invade Jericho. But that wasn't really the reason why they were sent there, or at least maybe they didn't know that, but God had other plans. They needed to rescue a woman named Rahab. Here was a woman who came to saving faith in the God of Israel, and even though she didn't know a lot about the God of Israel, she changed her allegiance, you might say. And what I mean by that is she no longer worshiped the gods that the people of Jericho worshiped. She worshiped the true and living God, the God of Israel. And the evidence for this faith was seen in what she did with these two spies. She hid them from the soldiers of Jericho who were looking for them. And obviously, and we talked about this before, true faith is evident by our works. And we see that with Rahab. And she put her life on the line. Why? Well, if the king of Jericho found out that she was hiding these spies, these Jewish spies, they would have killed her. He would have had her put to death. But her faith led her life, and it wasn't perfect faith like ours isn't, but what she knew, she lived out. This morning, we're going to look at the reason for Rahab's faith. In other words, how did Rahab get saved? And we touched on it last time, but we're going to see it played out in the verses we're going to be looking at this morning in Joshua chapter 2. But before we get to our text, I want to share a few things with you to show you what it's happening, and really the danger, how dangerous this issue is. You see, what we see happening across America and really throughout the world is that people are moving away from the Word of God. And we're getting them to believe that the Word of God is not the Word of God any longer. We're getting them to believe we can't trust everything in the Word of God. I know some of you have seen the news article about the Baptist preacher who says that you can't trust Genesis for what marriage is all about. In other words, it's gay marriage is okay because you can't trust what Genesis says. There was someone else who did something like that. Has God indeed said? And who was that? Satan. Do you see how dangerous? And all you have to do is twist God's word just a little bit. And there's a tremendous danger in that. We need to be careful. I'm going to share with you that this morning about our faith coming by hearing and the hearing of the Word of God. That's why this is so important to us, to understand we can trust the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. Let me show you what's going on, and you may be surprised how dangerous this trend is growing, and it's growing quickly. This is from almost 2 years ago, December 24th, 2016, and what one pastor had to say. And just listen carefully how it's just twisted just a little bit. The pastor of one of America's largest megachurches stirred up Christmas controversy after preaching that the story of Jesus' virgin birth is not crucial to the Christian faith. If somebody can predict their own death and resurrection, I'm not at all that concerned about how the guy got into the world, Andy Stanley said in a December 4th sermon at North Point Community Church, which draws 36,000 attendees across six locations in suburban Atlanta. Christianity doesn't hinge on the truth or even the stories around the birth of Jesus. It hinges on the resurrection of Jesus. Now, let me just say this, because you might not think that that's a big deal. But if Jesus is not born of virgin birth, he is born with the nature of man, which is sin, right? And if it's with sin, then he can't go to the cross of Calvary. His resurrection is meaningless to us. Do you see how important this is, guys? In the days leading up to Christmas, fellow Christians defended the significance of the virgin birth. Southern Baptist Theological Seminary President Al Mohler addressed Stanley's remarks about the Virgin Mary on his podcast, saying, "If Jesus was not born of the Virgin, then the Bible cannot be trusted when it comes to telling us the story of Jesus. And that mistrust cannot be limited to how he came to us in terms of the incarnation. The fact is that biblical Christianity, and ultimately the gospel of Christ, cannot survive the denial of the virgin birth. Because without the virgin birth, you end up with a very different Jesus than the fully human, fully divine Savior revealed in the scripture." The Baptist Press wrote that Stanley doesn't have a problem with the people who doubt the biblical Christmas story. In a sermon, Stanley acknowledged that some people dispute the miracle of the virgin birth as a later addition or because it does not appear in two of the gospel accounts, those of Mark and John. "I am often misunderstood because of my communication style. I frequently verbalize what I know unbelievers and those who have left the church believe. Assume or remember a college professor saying," and Stanley said in his response, that's what he said in his response Friday to the Washington Post. But here's the thing. What he's doing is he's getting people not to trust the Word of God. "Well, you can't, this story, you can believe it or not believe it, it really doesn't matter. Well, what about this one over here? And what about that one? And where does it end? And who draws the line and says, well, now you're going too far?" You see how dangerous it is? We're looking just at one pastor and what he's sharing with his congregation. Imagine that multiplied it out to the many pastors who are teaching that the Bible is not the Word of God. Imagine the impact it would have on congregations, the millions and millions of people that are being affected by this. It's that dangerous. Go check out and see what's going on in Christian colleges today and what they believe about the Bible. They will read more books written by men than they will read the Bible. And that's scary. This report is from 2017, and these are the consequences now of years and years of moving away from God's Word and what it's led up to. Fewer than one in four Americans, 24%, now believe the Bible is the actual Word of God and is to be taken literally, word for word, similar to the 26% who view it as a book of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. This is the first time in Gallup's four-decade trend that biblical literalism has not surpassed biblical skepticism. Meanwhile, about half of Americans, a proportion largely unchanged over the years, fall in the middle, saying the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but that not all of it should be taken literally. Again, has God indeed said? Do you see the problem with that? Okay, who's deciding what we should take literally and what's not literal? Okay, when it says Jesus is the door, that's a picture, right? But in reality, isn't he the door to the Father? Yes. Okay, Don't get confused by some of these things that they're trying to tell you that are taking you away from the Word of God. From the mid-1970s through 1984, close to 40% of Americans considered the Bible the literal Word of God. Can you imagine? 1970s through 1984, 40% of Americans thought the Bible was the literal Word of God. Look at where we're at today. That's pretty incredible. He says that much of this decline has happened over the last 3 years or so. Over the past three decades, he says, Americans' view of the Bible as the literal Word of God has been declining, while their view that the Bible is a collection of fables, myths, and history recorded by man has been increasing. And this is the thing that scares me the most. The shift is most pronounced among young adults, indicating the trend is likely to accelerate in the years ahead. Why? Because these are the kids that are going to the Christian colleges that are being taught these things. And I guess the real danger is not necessarily with old people like me, but with young people. You see it with the emerging church, the purpose-driven church, the seeker-friendly church, and many others. Just getting you to doubt the Word of God, and it's a slippery slope that leads to destruction. Someone in our church was telling me that one of the people who's they know who's a Christian said this about the Bible. When you're reading it, you have to read between the lines. Hey, well, I can't even get everything that's said in it when I'm reading it word for word. Read between the lines? Are you kidding me? I need to see what it says here. But see the danger? What are you getting? Has God indeed said? See, what does it really mean? Because he can't mean that. And we're living in a different time than, 2,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. It's different time, and we have to, get in touch with the period of time we're living in. No, we don't. Again, I've told you this so many times before. If Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who numbers the stars and knows them all by name, the one who keeps everything working and holds us together, if he can't figure out what they needed back then and what we need today, then what kind of God is he? God knows exactly what we need, and he loves us so much that he's told us. That's how important this is, guys. And we'll see that for Rahab, it was really faith that came by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So let's dig in. Joshua chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 8 and look at the reason for Rahab's faith. We're told, so before they lay down, that is the spy, she came up to them on the roof where she hid them and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. First of all, we see that God brought Rahab and these two spies together. And it's out of this encounter, her faith is going to grow. I believe she's already saved. She was saved before the spies got there. But I love how God brings people together. He encourages them. He brings people to unbelievers, Christians to unbelievers, to bring them to the faith. He brings Christians together to encourage them in the faith. And you think, well, how did Rahab know about the God of the Jews? They didn't have CNN or anything like that back then. I'm not sure CNN would have reported it anyway, but I'm getting off track here. But word quickly spread about all that the children of Israel had accomplished. In fact, this is so fascinating to me. Rahab uses the name of God. She uses Yahweh, the covenant name of God. They heard, how the children of Israel were set free from their bondage in Egypt, the Exodus. They heard about how God brought them through the Red Sea and destroyed the Egyptian army that was coming after them. They heard how God had destroyed two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. You see, the people of Jericho knew all of this. The city was under lockdown because they knew the children of Israel were coming. They were just on the other side of the Jordan River. And once they crossed the Jordan River, Jericho was next in line. And they were terrified. They were worried. 2 to 3 million people waiting to come after you. The whole city knew of this, but Rahab believed. She believed Yahweh. She believed the Lord. And how did she come to saving faith? I believe faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, she didn't have the Old Testament. She didn't have any of the scriptures. How did she know? Simply, she heard the stories. Isn't there the story about God delivering the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt? Oh, yeah, it's in the book of Exodus. And how he destroyed those kings and on and on. God was revealing to her his word. She didn't have the pages that we have, but she had heard the stories of what the God of Israel was doing, and she believed in him. Man, the faith of this woman. Remember 40 years earlier, the 10 spies. They had a hard time believing. Here in Joshua 2:9, it says, Rahab, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know Yahweh has given you the land. For those 10 spies and as well as the nation itself 40 years earlier, they didn't believe. But again, Rahab did. That's amazing to me. These stories of what God was doing in the lives of the children of Israel had spread through those, traveling. They heard the stories and they were reporting back to the inhabitants of Jericho. Oh man, you got to hear about this. Look, the God of Israel was doing these things. So they were aware of it. It was head knowledge for the most part. It didn't save them. It never sank down into their heart. They never believed that, and a belief that changed their actions. But for one, it did. For Rahab. She had this head knowledge, but it was manifested in her life, and she turned to the true and living God. and she turned away from the false gods that she once worshipped. You know, James tells us in James chapter 2 about Rahab's faith. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In other words, her works didn't save her. They were the evidence that she was saved. It was seen in how she treated the Jewish spies who came into Jericho, risking her own life. But here's the thing I want to focus on, because I think in the days we're living in, it is so important. And that's the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God in bringing people to saving faith, and not only bringing people to saving faith, but helping them to grow, to mature. You see, you could study all the false teaching that's out there, and it will never end. There will always be false teaching out there, and it's always good to be aware of some of the stuff that's going on. So how do we defend ourselves against false teaching? You know the truth. Because once you know the truth, when there's an error out there, someone says something that's wrong, you go, yeah, but the Bible says. And that's your final authority. Never say, Pastor Joe said. Never say, I feel. You say, but God's Word says. Because God's Word is the final authority. And we'll see that this morning. And, you know, I realize there are many people today that have lost interest in hearing the Word of God being taught. They don't see the importance. It brings us the saving faith. It helps us to live out our faith, to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Is it important? It absolutely is important. You see, Rahab knew the God of the Jews, and yeah, maybe not as much as some, but with what she knew, she acted upon, she applied to her life. Again, in Hebrews 11, verse 31, in that great hall of faith section, guess who's in there? Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. She heard the Word of God, she applied the Word of God to her life, and she got saved. Many years ago, in a Moscow theater, there was this actor who was converted while playing the role of Jesus. And it was a very sacrilegious play. It was entitled Christ in a Tuxedo. It kind of says a lot right there. And he was supposed to read two verses from the Sermon on the Mount, remove his gown and crown, give me my tuxedo and top hat. And that was his line. But as he read the words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He started trembling. And instead of following the script, he kept reading from Matthew 5, ignoring the coughs, calls, and foot stamping of his fellow actors. Finally, recalling a verse he had learned in his childhood in a Russian Orthodox church, he cried, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And before the curtain lowered, he trusted Jesus as his personal Savior. He went there to mock the Lord, and the Lord got a hold of him, because the Word of God is living and powerful, can transform our lives. That's how important it is, guys. And if you are the enemy and you want to get people off track, what do? You keep them away from the truth. We've looked at these verses before, but look at 2 Timothy. We've read these many times before, but they are so, so important. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 2 through 5, where Paul said this. He said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Keep in mind, Paul is on death row. He's in prison in Rome. Nero's going to put him to death for his faith in Christ. And when you know that you're going to die, do you think you're just going to give goofy information out? No, you're going to give stuff that is so important to you, so heavy upon your heart. And that's what he's doing here to Timothy, this young pastor who's in Ephesus. And it's a warning for Timothy, and I think for us as well. Don't stop teaching the Word of God. Don't let people cause you to water it down, to shorten it up, to negate it. Because there's coming a day, he said, that people aren't going to want to hear sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. And I think we're living in it. People don't want to be bothered with the Word of God. They want to hear happy stories. They just want a feel-good message. Fairy tales make them feel good about, I guess, their sin or whatever. What a sad place to be. Because God loved us so much, He died for us, right? And now you think He's given us this word that's got all kinds of mistakes in it that's going to hurt us? Does that jive with the God we know, the Scriptures? No, it doesn't. He's given to us everything we need for life and godliness. It's that important. In fact, Paul said, you know, don't give the people what they want. Give them what they need, the Word of God taught to them. As you're teaching the Word of God, as you're sharing God's Word with people, they will be convinced that what you're saying is true. Sometimes. Not all the time. If they're living in rebellion against God, they're rebuked. And again, for believers, hopefully, they see this. If they're struggling and downcast, God's Word will exhort them to continue on in the faith, not to give up. And it's not easy. But Paul says to Timothy, be long-suffering. Continue on doing the work that God has called you to do. Share the Word of God. And I realize people say, well, you know, the Bible is nothing more than the words of man. People say that, but I don't think they've examined the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, again, we've said these verses often. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be equipped for serving the Lord? Know the Scriptures. Why just cut the grass? I don't care. If you cut the grass at church, there might be someone coming by who asks you a question. Are you ready to defend your faith, to give them a reason for the hope that is in you? Yes, if you cut the grass, you better be men and women of the Word. You better know the Scriptures. It doesn't matter what ministry you're in. It doesn't matter at all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it literally means God-breathed. It comes from God. And I realize, again, people will argue that, but from Genesis and ultimately through the book of Revelation, this is the Word of God. 1 Timothy 5:18, Paul quotes out of the Gospel of Luke, stating that it is Scripture. 2 Peter 3:16, Peter tells us that Paul's writings are part of the Scriptures. The entire Bible is. And it's profitable. It's from reading it, applying it to our lives, there's a profit to it. It tells us doctrine, what's right. It tells us reproof, again, what's wrong. It tells us correction. When we get astray, how do we get back? And instruction for righteousness, how do we walk? How do we live? But again, how do we know that it's true? Because we have thousands and thousands of manuscripts of the Scriptures and sermons from the past that show us how reliable God's Word is to us, how it hasn't been distorted over the years. In fact, in Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, we're told every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. You know, we're living in a day when pastors, church leaders, Christians don't believe this is true. They don't see, again, the importance of it being true, that the Scriptures are pure. They're infallible. In Proverbs 30, Agar was wondering about God, how to know Him, how to know His Son. And he says, it's the Word of God which has been tested in the fire and found to be true to reveal these things to us. You see, the Bible doesn't just contain the words of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And if it isn't true, think about this. If it just contains the words of God, it's not the Word of God, then each individual is going to have to decide what is of God and what is not. And I find it interesting because people do that today. And you know the parts that they cut out? Everything that deals with sin and judgment. You know the parts they keep in? Love, love, love. Is God a God of love? Absolutely. But He's also a righteous and holy God who must judge this earth. And He does so righteously. So man is sinful. Thus, to deal with that problem of sin, he can't ignore it because he wouldn't be a righteous judge. He has to make payment for man's sins. And that's what Jesus did for us. And can you imagine, though, that this book has some truth and some errors in it? You don't know what they are. Imagine that you had this emergency evacuation book. Now, it would be kind of silly in this building because it's a pretty small building. But imagine you're in a big building, emergency evacuation book. There's some truth in it, and there's some error in it. Now there's an emergency. How are you going to decide what is truth and what is error? Well, we'll just go and see. You're going to be dead. Trial and error doesn't work. Do you want to just wait till you die to see if you made it into heaven? You didn't. Now what? That's it.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.